Hallelujah. There's nothing like worship. Praise God. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome online. Thank you. Whew. Thank you. Thank you. You are in for a treat. God has abundantly supplied all that you have need of, and it is at the door of your heart this morning. The deliverer is at the door of your heart this morning. He's in our midst. He's here. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, the message this morning is a twofold blessing, is the title of my message. And before I get into the message part, I want to share on the offering, which is a twofold blessing as well. And I'm realizing that all God wants to do is bless His people. That's all He wants to do. So when I think of messages, and I think you can't take one thing and make it a finality. God's blessing is in every area. God's word is full of blessings and promises and provision and love and compassion and joy and peace and mercy and grace. It's unending. God is unending. So when I say a twofold blessing, this does not... it's not a finality. I'm just sharing one part of the blessing of God. And it's in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 through 12. I want to read in the New Living Translation. Hallelujah. God's God, amazing. Whew. Abundantly above all you could ask or think. There's such a presence here this morning that's just so sweet. Whew. Verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. There's a twofold blessing right there. He provides seed to the farmer, seed to the sower. There's one blessing. God provides the seed. What a blessing. Amen. You don't have to create the seed. And He also provides the bread for you to eat. I could leave right on that. Everything I have need of is provided to give and to plant and to sow. God provides it, and God also provides the increase in the harvest to bring it to pass. So what in the world do we have a part to play? Believe it and receive it. Twofold blessing. Seed for the sower and bread to eat. Hallelujah. You got all your needs met. And then you have above to give to other people. Wow, what a blessing. Yeah, in just one sentence. I'm not done yet. Neither is God. In the same way. Everybody say same way. Same way. Okay, so that means the next way is the same as what I just said. Okay? Not hard to understand. Same way. Same principle. He will, God's work here, He will provide and increase your resources. One blessing. He'll increase your resources. That's wonderful. You say, well, what do I have? You got to just see what you have, and God's going to put His hand on it and increase it.
Amen.
Amen. That's a blessing. He'll increase your resources. So that's nothing. It didn't say you increase your resources. He increases.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. All right. That's a blessing. Yeah. It's not that hard. We're making it harder than what it is, church. Yeah. Amen. The farmer did not have to go find the seed. The seed was there. All he has to do is put it in the ground. God does all the rest. Put it in the ground and then come back and receive it. God does all the work. The earth produces after its own kind. Amen. So the first blessing, the same way the farmer and the bread, here we go. He'll provide and increase your resources. That's phenomenal. Blessing number one. Blessing number two. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Blessing number two. So it's not only everything that you have need of and all your resources be increased, they'll be increased so much that you'll have generosity to give others. If you ever hear somebody talk about lack in God in the same sentence, run from them. Run far from them. God is not a God of lack. He is not a God of decrease. He gives seed and he also brings a harvest. He brings increase to your resources and then produces a great harvest so you can give to others. You will have more than what you have need of to give to others. If you want to find out what is a place of supreme in God, it is generosity. The ability to be generous is the highest place in God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The greatest place in God is to give to someone that is in need. And he saw fit to give to this human race his dear son to die on the cross. What a generous gift. What a generous gift. Because God already knew he'd take care of humanity and then he'd raise his son and deliver his son and deliver all that trust in him. What a blessing. Twofold blessing. Jesus was resurrected and will be resurrected. Hallelujah. You get a hold of this stuff, it'll make you shout and dance. And if somebody tells you you can't raise your hands and smile and dance at church, run from them. Run from them. I'm serious. I am dead serious. I'm not dead, but I'm serious. See, you say, what is this about? This is about giving, man. When you understand giving and generosity, that's where you want to stay. Amen. You want to be a giver. This is a spiritual matter you have to get on the inside of your heart. This is a belief system. And you start giving out of a belief system. You become generous out of a belief system. You reap a harvest out of a belief system. Nowhere in here does it say your labor, your toil. You say, well, I don't have the resources. Who brings the increase to the resources? God does. He'll give you his heart. He'll give you the idea, and then he'll bless it on top of it. Amen. He'll give you the invention and then put his hand on it and supernaturally cause it to increase. He'll take the seed that you plant today and supernaturally it'll go from five loaves, two fish. All right, I don't want to be doctrine wrong. Five loaves, two fish. He'll take that, he'll put his hand on it and feed 5,000. How does that happen? Believing in God. He'll take what you have. Generously bless it. Give to the 5,000 and then have baskets left over. Amen. To take home. I think I heard an announcement about collecting non-perishable goods. To not only feed them, but give them something to go home with. Yeah. Amen. Twofold blessing, amen, isn't it? Yeah. Man, everything you look at is a twofold blessing. Yep. Why does God want you healed? Not only so you're healed, but so you can do his will and go and share the gospel. Amen. Twofold blessing. There's something about that today. Get ready for the twofold blessing. There's something God wants to do beyond what you're doing already. Yeah. You say, keep going, Pastor. I am. I'm trying. Verse 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way. Enriched. Do you know what that word enrich means? To make wealthy. You say, this is just a spiritual matter. Nope. It's a natural matter too. This is a financial matter as well. This principle works in the spirit realm and it works in the natural realm. It works in your financial sowing and it works in your words when you minister to people and love on people. Yeah. Same principle. You want your resources to grow? If you want this church to grow, this church needs to be speaking positive. Amen. And believe in God. Amen. And it'll grow. God brings what? The increase. All right. Enriched in every way. How many ways is every way? I think all. And you say, well, this may not cover. Oh, it covers everything. You'll have clothes. You'll have nice clothes to wear. You'll have the best food to eat. Amen. You'll have the nice house. And you say, why? How can you say enriched in every way? Enriched in every way. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just believing. That's all I need to do is believe what it says. Amen. And that's why I'm here, is to help you believe what I believe. Amen. We're digging together. Where'd my page go? Okay. Enriched in every way so that you can always be what? Generous. Say, so the reason you're blessed is not just for yourself. Amen. That's called selfish. All right. The reason you're blessed by God is to be generous to others. Amen. God is not going to just pour out blessing on you if you're just going to just take it all in yourself. You know, if your name's Jimmy, I'm sorry, but it's not, you know, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy and I'll take all you give me. It's not. That is not the Bible. Amen. Generosity. Everybody say generosity.
Generosity.
Why do you say that? You say that because that is focused on other people above yourself.
Yeah.
And you can operate in this twofold ministry of what God has if you're looking to God and others before you're looking to yourself. Notice the harvest and the bread automatically comes when you keep your focus on generosity. Amen. I'm not trying to preach money out of you. I'm trying to get blessing in you. Amen. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result. Everybody say two. Oh, man, there's something about two today. Amen. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. Your giving will produce two good things minimal. Okay, here they are. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. So your giving and generosity, number one, will meet the needs of the church.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
You're the church, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You want all your needs met?
Amen.
Amen. Generosity from the body produces the needs met in the body. Amen.
Amen.
Not hard to understand. That's blessing number one. Here's the second one. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. It causes worship to God through generosity. So when you are generous and when you give, it only not only provides your needs and the needs of those around you, it also brings joy in the house.
Yeah.
Happy people,
hey,
have their needs met. What are the two things that most people deal with in life? Their needs met and joy. And in God, you can have both. In the world, you're striving to find joy through finances. But in the kingdom of God, you can have both. They actually work together. But it comes through generosity. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
I'm getting revelation as I read it. I didn't even write notes and I got all that. This is phenomenal. Amen. God's good and he's got revelation for you.
Amen.
So say twofold one more time. Hey, if you believe it, it's yours. And as you sow today, I want you to believe God for greater. I want you to believe God that not only your needs are going to get met, but your family's needs and your neighbor.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, you shall receive.
Hallelujah.
So when you ask and you believe and you give with generosity, guess what? God is not a liar. He's going to see it come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen. Who's ready to give?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Who's ready to be an usher?
Hallelujah.
Oh, we got two of them. All right. Online, if you're listening online, there's ways to give up there. I'm not going to go through them, but there's all those ways up there. Amen. You can use them if you're here as well, but if not, there's envelopes.
Right.
Amen. That you can fill out. Do what the Lord's asking you to do.
Right.
That's it. Do what to give where your faith is applied. Listen to me. The seed that you sow this morning only will work as far as your faith is applied to it. Give in faith, believing God. Don't give without believing God. Amen. You got to put God on your seed for your seed to produce a godly result. Amen. If God brings the increase, God has to be a part of the equation.
Yeah.
Not my labor only. I'm just debiting out of my account because the pastor is encouraging me to, and I want to look like I'm doing something when the bucket comes past.
Yeah.
That is not going to help you.
Come on.
Amen. That's not going to help you. Put your faith into it. Believe God. What are you believing for?
Yeah.
You believing for resources?
Yeah.
Amen. You believing for a business? You're believing for your needs met? My golly, put your faith in something. Amen. Don't expect it from the government. You're going to be sorely disappointed. Because they'll give it to you And then they'll charge you later on next year and take it back anyway. Believe God, get your blessing from heaven. He's not a, I can't say that, because he's not a the giver that gives and then pulls back. All right, there's a terminology I'm not going to say. Amen, you know where I'm coming from. Ushers, please. Serve the people. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's a great day. It's a great day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we had music, that'd be great. But if you want to look at me, that's fine too. But praise God. Put your faith in God. Look to God, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. Look to God. It's going to be a fun day today. I can't even contain myself. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. You keep it up, you'll have to preach this message. Let's believe God together. There's a lot of faith right here. It's this supernatural seed in my hand. Supernatural seed. And my hand cannot affect it. It's God's hand on it. And that's all we're doing is men receive tithes and offerings, but in heaven he receives them. So, Father, I thank you that you're receiving all this seed in faith. We lift it to you. We trust and we honor you with these earthly riches. Father, I thank you that your storehouse will be filled and your storehouse will overflow with blessing. That people will worship you because of this seed right here. People will come to know you as Lord and Savior because of this seed. And Father, I thank you for the supernatural work that you will do through this seed to produce a supernatural harvest. We thank you for it now. We agree together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, it's good. Man, we already had our service. Amen. Service number two. Here we go. Twofold. Sorry, there's going to be a threefold on this one. So, triple blessing. So, I was going to do this as an announcement before I get into my message. You know, when you want to tell people things, but it's not necessarily out of like a sermon or a Bible, but you know people need it, you got to get it to them. Amen. You got to get it to them. It's kind of like if you need vitamins or minerals, but you can't get enough in your food, you got to take a supplement, right? All right, this is your supplement. So this is supplement time real quick. This is an added bonus. So those that came this morning, this is your added bonus. Those listening online, and it's about voting. And as a pastor, I can't sit back and just say nothing about it. So if you have a pen and paper, I want you to write this website down, because I'm not going to copy and print this stuff because that's called illegal, all right? So I'm going to share with you where I got the information so you can go read it so nobody gets in trouble, okay? So the website is decisionmagazine.com. And you say, why are you sharing this? Well, because it is going to give you the tools, the ammunition, the know-how, and the revelation as a believer on how to vote. Amen. As a pastor, I have to do this. I can't just sit idly by when people don't understand what's going on. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. And it's called Decision Magazine. It's put out by Billy Graham, and you can read it online, but as you go on there, you click America's Future is in the Balance. Okay? That's how you get to what I'm talking about. I don't want to share a lot of time on this, but I'm going to share some time.
Amen.
Okay? November 5th is around the corner. This is the magazine. I'm giving a big boost to them, and that's fine. They did the legwork, amen, and look this up. But it gives six main points that are important in our nation. And they are free exercise of religion, free speech, sanctity of human life, education, border security, family and parental rights. And it gives the administration of the Republican platform, the Democratic platform, how they voted, how they see things, their perspective on things. It answers questions. So I say that, and I'm saying all this, not just in announcements, but online, because we have to get to a point, church. We have to get to a point, because no matter who gets in office, the church is going to continue on. God's on the throne. You're not going to dethrone God by an elephant or a donkey, okay? That's just a fact. So no matter what, the church is going to be okay. But this is what the Lord told me. By voting, you can open the door to more persecution, or you can shut the door to more persecution by when you vote.
That's right.
So the church is going to succeed, but if you want more persecution, there's a way you can vote. But if you want to kick persecution in the butt to a degree, there's another way you can vote. So the church is going to succeed. So it's not about whether the church is going to be okay or not. The church is just fine. But the way, what happens is people vote politics over policy, or they vote personality over policy. Okay, I'm saying that, I know this isn't exciting, but I can't be a pastor and not say it. So whether you look excited or not, I'm going to share it anyway. Okay, so personality does not run a nation. Politics do not run a nation. Policy, laws run a nation and govern a nation. So you got to bypass personality, you got to bypass looks, you got to bypass all that stuff and look at policy. And that's why I want you to go to this and read about it. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just giving you the resources. Do your homework and ask the Lord what to do. But when it says, when Scripture says in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than man, there's some policies in the Word of God that we need to stick to as the church.
Amen.
No matter what man wants to do, God's number one as a believer.
Amen.
All right? So that's freedom of religion. We have to vote in line. If you want more persecution, that's fine. But me, I'd rather have less. If it's in my power to eliminate laws or people that are putting laws that are against the church, and that's a free ability for me, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If somebody wants to give me a free cheeseburger or a steak, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Amen.
Right? Okay, nobody else? Maybe I'm the only. You're a bunch of vegetarians. The second one's free speech. You shall, Ezekiel 2:7, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. God has given us free speech. There's one platform that allows free speech for the church to do what it needs to do. And there's another one that wants to shut the free speech down. I'm just sharing with you. Take it for what it is. Sanctity of human life. I don't even need to get into that. That should be el primo, number one, pro-life.
Yes. Amen.
If you're a Christian and you don't understand that, you need to come up here and I need to lay hands on you and get the devil cast out of you.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what they say. Pro-life. Every child has a right to live. God created them. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139:13. God's doing a work inside the womb.
Yeah.
God, that's important to God.
Yeah.
Every child. Anyway, that's the third point. You say, I didn't come to church for this. Neither did I, but this is the church. The church deals with everything. The church doesn't run from anything. Okay? Education. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Proverbs 9:10. Education is important. Train a child up in the way they should go, and they shall not depart. Parental rights are key to imparting into our young people. There's a platform that wants to indoctrinate and take control of the young people and have no parental rights. There's another one that wants to keep parental rights. I'm just sharing with you. I know this is exciting. Praise God. Psalms 122:7, border security. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. Hey, let's keep going. Last one, family and parental rights. I just shared this scripture, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you know parents are the number one influence in a child's life? Not the school, not the government, not even the church. It's not the pastor's job or the Sunday school teacher to raise a child. Amen. We're just imparting the godly principles. They should be implemented in the home life. But when you take your child somewhere and the doctor says you're not allowed in there as a parent, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. There's a platform that's for it. There's a platform that's against it. Enough said. Decision, what did I call it? Decisionmagazine.com. Anyway. Yeah, praise God. I did what the Lord told me to do. Whether anybody says amen or not, I did what I needed to do. Praise God. Moving on. And if you're listening in Haiti or Africa, pray for us. I know you don't have the power to vote, but you have the power of prayer, and we need all the prayer we can get in this time. Amen. Amen. Yeah, because other countries can't vote, we still can vote. There's a platform that wants to take your voting rights away. There's socialism and there's freedom. I didn't say anything about Republican or Democrat, anything about blue, purple, or red. Socialism, communism. Yeah, socialism is the appetizer to communism. Yep. And you say everything about these other countries. Oh, it's terrible there. We're headed there.
Yeah.
We're headed there. But you can vote. You say, well, my vote doesn't count. I think they cheat. Well, I guarantee you your vote's not going to count if you don't do anything.
Come on.
You say, well, I'm hungry, but there's food here. Well, I guarantee if you don't eat the food that's provided, you're still going to be hungry.
Yeah.
Whether it's enough for what you need or not. Go do what is available and free for you to do. You can have freedom or capitalism, or you can have socialism and communism. It's in your hand. It's in your vote. It's in your ability. It's in your prayer. Amen. Praise God. Twofold blessing. Let's go. Here we go. So last week I shared this scripture in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, and I want to go there again, and that's the key scripture. But when I read it in verse 16, there's some words in there that pricked my spirit, that really spoke to my spirit. And as I was ministering, when something speaks to you, you got to heed that warning. When you feel something, I just want to encourage you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to your conscience or speaks to your heart, put your antennas up. Put your faith antennas up and say, what do you have here, Lord? There's something here. And that's what happened last week when I was reading this scripture. It's like there's more here that the people need. And it's not seen in the natural, but it's spiritual. It's like a wave. It's kind of like what are those things? Magnet thing to find metal? Metal detector. It's like you're running a metal detector and you know there's something in the ground because it's beeping. You can't see it. Nobody else can see it, but it's there. That's what's happening. There was an anointing on this word, and all of a sudden I said it, and it's like, bam, something is there. So the Lord's like, here it is. Start digging. There's something there for you. There's a treasure there. So that's why I'm sharing this message today, and I'm believing it's going to bring great breakthrough because the Lord gave it to me. This isn't I got online, tried to copy somebody's message. I don't do that anyway, but I'm just telling you, this is directly from the Lord. Do this, study this out, share it next week. That's what the Lord spoke to me. I had another sermon, and I shared it with a brother in the church. I was like, I believe I'm going to preach on this, and the Lord's like, you can believe what you want, but I got the word for you next week. Yeah. And that's what the Lord will speak to you that way. And that is a blessing because there's protection, provision, growth, and spiritual growth in that. When you heed the Spirit, your conscience becomes sensitive to it. And you can hear the voice of God. Amen. And I'm believing you're going to hear God's voice this morning. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. You already have, but keep your ears open. Amen. Keep your ears open. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest, ours, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Here it is. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So when I read about receive his mercy and find his grace, it is like the light bulb just totally turned on. It's like, stop what you're doing. The brakes are on. Go right here. So this is where we're going. I've been talking about grace, but there's a twofold blessing, and it's called mercy and grace. And I'm going to share with you today because I'm telling you, this is an area that's plaguing people, but other people, once they get a hold of it, you press right into God, you enter right into his throne room of grace, and you receive his mercy, and you receive his favor, and you receive his blessing, and you live a life that way where you're unhindered by this world. Amen. Amen. But notice something here. It says, we have a great high priest. You have to have Jesus as your high priest for this to operate. Yeah. Without Jesus, no operation. All right? You can read and you can want it, but Jesus is the one that gives it. And if you don't have him, you need him. Yeah. We have a great high priest. Notice what it says in the end of verse 14. Hold firmly to what we believe. Mercy and grace is not out of your ability. It's in your belief system. It's in your ability to enter in to his grace, the throne room. And I'm going to share with you how to enter into his throne room. And I just gave you the answer. You enter God's throne room by believing in Jesus Christ. Anybody can enter his throne room by believing in Jesus Christ. You enter into a place of mercy and grace and get saved the moment you believe on Jesus Christ and confess him. That's how quick you can enter in and receive mercy and grace. How quick can you get saved? In about 5 seconds. Every sin that you've committed can be dealt with in 5 seconds when Jesus shows up. I just said 5 seconds. It's quicker than that. But I want you to see, just the way it happened then is the same way it happens throughout your life. If you mess up, if you miss it, mercy and grace, believe on Jesus Christ. You enter in, you receive mercy, you find grace. I want you to see something, though. One comes before the other. And that's the part that most people miss. One comes before the other. You receive mercy. Mercy comes first. Mercy removes sin. Grace pours out favor. And here, I want you to see this. You must understand this. Get a hold of this. Mercy and grace are usually looked at the same because their foundation and their root is the same. Mercy is out of the love of God. Grace is from the love of God. It's God's compassion for people. So mercy comes because the love of God. Grace comes because the love of God. So they both come from the same root. They both come from the same place, but they actually are totally opposite in their working, and most people can't see that. They put mercy and grace together, but they actually deal with totally different areas. Look at it this way, for you country folks. God is like a dump truck. Mercy comes and hauls your junk away. Grace comes back and hauls to fill the blessing. Mercy literally keeps judgment and what is owed to you by your sin and removes it. And grace brings in the blessing of God to fill the void. So if you have a hole in your life, grace comes and fills it. But if you're living a life of sin, mercy can come and remove the sin and fill you with the grace of God. Amen. You have to have mercy first. You have to get rid of sin first. If sin is in the camp, grace can't operate. Mercy has to come first. And I'm going to show you what this means and how you operate in this. Are you ready for this? Amen. Are you ready? Man, you got to live in this place. Because when you get to a place where you don't think you can receive his mercy, that's exactly where you need to go. And I'm going to share with you what will keep you out of the mercy of God. The only thing that keeps you out of God's mercy is you. Believing that it's for you. Once you believe it's for you, you receive it. Yeah. Notice the scripture, verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of the grace of God, or our gracious God. So grace is found in the throne room. What is that throne? That throne is the mercy seat. So you have mercy and grace, and you can boldly come to that place of mercy. Jesus is seated right there waiting for you to... All you got to do is come and say, Jesus, I need your mercy. I need your grace. And it's right there. But the part you play is you got to come to it. You got to come to a place of entering the throne room. And most people, a lot of people, don't think they're worthy to enter in. The reason you don't think you're worthy is because sin's been lying to you too long. Because the very thing you need is mercy. The very thing you're saying you're not good enough for is the very thing that's going to fix you. The very thing that people say, I can't go to church because I'm not good enough, is the very reason they should come to church, because none of us are good enough. We need God's mercy every day. Every day. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us falls short. Every one of us needs His mercy. And the moment we receive His mercy is the moment we find the grace of God. And all of a sudden, when you have a weight, you need His mercy. When His mercy comes, the weight is lifted, and then you receive His, you find His grace, and that's when peace shows up. Amen. So when it's heavy, you need mercy, and then you need grace afterwards to fill that gap, to fill that void. You get what I'm saying? They work in totally different areas, but they operate from God, from the throne room. So I just encourage you, we have to get to a place where we're worthy enough to enter in. Because, I'm getting ahead of myself. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. So when you firmly believe in Jesus Christ, that causes you to come boldly. Coming boldly is an act of faith. I just got to say this. James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. A lot of people look at that always in the physical realm, and that's what it's meaning. But coming to the throne room is an act of faith in the Spirit. Do you hear me? Let me say that again. Coming to the throne room is an act of faith in your spirit. It is applying and saying in your spirit, I'm going to go from this place of hurt and brokenness and sin, and by faith, I'm going to enter into the place of grace that I talked about last week, the throne room. So it is an act of faith to say, I'm going to take time and I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to take time, I'm going to pray. I'm going to take time and ask for help. Asking for help is an act of faith. Are you getting that? God loves you so much, you could be in total shambles. And all you need to say is, Lord, I need your help. And guess what? You acted in faith to enter the throne room. To receive his mercy. That quickly. That quickly. That quickly, church. There is no reason why anyone cannot enter the throne room. It's available to all, but you have to go through the blood. You have to go through Christ. That's why we share the gospel above everything else. Because the gospel is what's going to get people to the place where they receive mercy. Amen. And find grace. Amen. Mercy is received. Grace is found. The only way you find grace is after you receive His mercy. Because sin will keep God's grace from you. Sin is a blocking factor. Sin is the dirtiness and the blinder, the scales where you can't see God's grace. And once mercy comes, sin is removed and you can receive the glory of God. The promises of God. The provision of God. Every unearned favor that God has provided is yours. As soon as you receive the mercy to receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6. This was shared last week, but this really sums it up. New Living says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. So what is it talking about pleasing God? Pleasing God is allowing what his son died and paid for and was risen from to be yours. Yeah. That's what he's talking about there. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. So mercy and grace are found by faith, seeking God. Did you get that? There's a reward. Mercy and grace are a reward. They are a blessing from heaven, provided for every individual. I don't care what you've done. Everybody puts a label on sin about how bad it is just because how long you've done it, that you need extra mercy. The blood is enough. The blood is enough. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not a, God's not leveling sin to say you got to enter in a little farther. You got to sit on the mercy seat a little longer to get what you need. No, you just got to get to that place of where his mercy is. And it's you're free. You're instantly free. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. People don't enter into his mercy because they feel condemned. And I'm going to share scriptures about that and show you that victimhood, condemnation, all the things people deal with, not being good enough, that's keeping you from entering into his mercy. And once you receive his mercy, bam, you get the gift of grace to handle what you feel victim about. Victimhood goes out the window, and you receive what God has for you. You receive his promise. Amen. You receive his power and ability and gifting to overcome. This is mercy and grace will cause you to overcome. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages, there is a payment for sin, and the payment for sin is death. Wages of sin is death. This is why Jesus came. This is the gospel message, church. Mercy and grace. It delivers you from sin, and it fills you with the kingdom of God. That's mercy and grace. That's mercy and grace. So mercy, hallelujah. Mercy deals with deliverance from judgment. Anybody done things in their life that they should have got judged for? Everybody, if you got a hand, it should be raised. All right. It deals with deliverance and judgment, not giving us what we deserve. God's mercy keeps us from getting the punishment we really deserve, which is hell. All of us deserve hell. But guess what? Jesus came and paid the price, so none of us have to go there. That's God's mercy. That's praise God. That's God's mercy. You can't outdo God. You can't out-sin God. All you got to do is believe in him. He'll take care. He already paid for your sin. Mercy is available for you today. Right now. You say, where's the throne room? Do I have to go to a town or a church? No. The throne room is right there knocking on the door of your heart. And you can receive it anywhere. You can receive it right now before the message is done. Amen. You can receive your salvation, your deliverance, your freedom, your healing right now. You don't have to wait. It's not by man, it's by through God. That's why when you trust in man, you'll never receive the mercy and the grace of God. Don't trust in man. Man didn't pay for it. Man can't provide it. Government didn't pay for it. They can't provide your deliverance. I'm telling you, every time I think about the government, it makes me sick. Anyway, so I'm going to stay off of that because I don't want to get sick. Amen. Mercy. Mercy removes our past. If you have things in your past that have been haunting you, mercy, gone. You say, is it that easy? Yeah. Believe on him. Hold fast to your faith. Believe on the word of God. Believe in the blood. Receive the engrafted word. It's that fast. It's that fast. It spares us from bad consequences. There's a lot of things I did in my past that I deserve a consequence. There's seed that I sowed that I shouldn't have sowed, that I had a harvest coming. Be it alcohol, whatever. And we can go around the room, but we're not sharing all our pity party because that's already been paid for. Amen. We don't need to discuss the past. The past is under the blood. But we need to realize that we did have a past. We've been redeemed from it. And that's going to cause us to be gracious and loving enough to go out and tell other people that, God's mercy worked for me and it can work for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All around the world, people are going out. The church is alive. Why? Because God's mercy and grace is flowing through the church.
That's right.
And the gates of hell can't stop it. The government can't stop. I'm not talking about the government. The government can't stop it. It can't stop God's mercy and grace. It's a heavenly law. It's a heavenly law. Religion can't stop God's mercy and grace. The only thing that stops it is us. Bad teaching, false prophets, false teachers can stop the mercy of God. It can. Religion can stop God's mercy if you're taught wrong. But I'm telling you right here, we ain't teaching wrong. You enter right into the throne room and you receive. You receive all God has for you. Amen. Every sin that you've committed is under the blood, past, present, and future. There's no guilt or shame in your game. Come on. It doesn't have to be. The only reason that you are living and walking in guilt and shame is because you made a decision to hold on to it. Because you don't think you're good enough or deserve His mercy in that area. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You guys, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. If you come to this church and you leave heavier than when you came, you made a decision to hold on to something or get offended about something. I'm telling you, there's a freedom in this house. Amen. There's a freedom in this word. Glory to God. And then when you receive it, you receive His mercy. That's why there's no judgment in this place. Ain't nobody judging anybody. If you're offended about something, that's your problem. Get it under the blood. Ask for God's mercy. If you got hurt in your past, if your parents did you wrong, you didn't get the inheritance you were meant to get. You're looking for the wrong inheritance.
Yeah.
Amen. There's an inheritance in the Word of God. It's called heaven. That's where your hope is. That's where you're anchored. Amen. And when you keep pressing into that, mercy keeps pouring out. You get revelation like, man, I missed this. Guess what? There's mercy for that. There's mercy in your ignorance. There's mercy in knowing you did wrong. It's called repentance.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just give it over to God. Stop holding on to it. I don't care what it is. You can say, but. Get your stinking butt out of the way. Not stinking. Get your butt out of the way. Get it out of the way. There is nothing that Jesus' blood did not provide mercy for. Nothing. Nothing. If you're holding on to it, you're choosing to hold it. I'm telling you, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'll say it and I'll say it and I'll say it. But there's a mercy that Jesus died for to provide for you. And you're saying, well, I'm going to hold mine because I don't think His death was good enough. Let it go. Let it go. Man, I'm not going to sing that song, but maybe some of you need to sing it. Let it go, let it go. Yeah, let it go. Stop holding it. God's not keeping it on you. The church isn't keeping it on you. Your spouse isn't keeping it on you. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. I can't sing. I ain't singing. Amen. I'll get my daughter up here to sing it. So mercy is forgiveness. It's a second chance. God is a God of second chances. That's what that's the definition of mercy. Is not getting what you deserve and getting a second chance. A new life. Amen. He gives you a whole new life. You become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become. That's the mercy of God. Talk about a twofold blessing. You become a new creation. And then He gives you all things that you have need of. And He gives you eternal life. You can't make this stuff up. You can't buy this. Nowhere else is this offered. Nowhere else is this offered except for the kingdom of God. He gives a way of escape. How many times you read in the Bible that He made a way of escape for people? Every single story in the Bible. How many times do you see people mess up in the Bible? Every single person. Right?
Yeah.
We can go from the very beginning in Adam and Eve. first things they did was mess up. Isn't that wonderful? We're a bunch of mess ups. Yeah, we were. We were sinners, but now we're saints. Amen. We're priests. Amen. We're kings in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Why? Because we received His mercy and we found His grace. We don't deserve it, but God didn't ask whether we deserve it or not. God had a plan for us, and He gave His best so we could have His best. Amen. So that's mercy. Mercy deals with the sin side of things, deals with the judgment side of things. And you have to deal with that first. And then we have grace. It's the favor and the blessing that you receive when sin is removed. It's unearned, unmerited favor. I've been talking about grace for weeks. So hopefully you got a hold of what grace is. But that's what comes when God's mercy removes the sin, the doubt, the unbelief, all the negativity, all the judgment. This is where, if you feel condemned about something, that's the enemy. That's a lie of the enemy. Because God's mercy already dealt with it. Everything. Even other areas that you may slip up in down the road from now. Mercy's already there waiting. Did you get that? I am your, not I, God is your ever-present help in time of need. That means there's mercy available in every time of need. Every time. Notice the rest of verse 16 in Hebrews. I'm just going to read it. Don't turn there. It says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we'll find His grace to help us when we need it most. Other translations say, in our time of need. Mercy and grace are a constant availability from the kingdom of heaven for God's people infinitely and in abundance. You can't suck the mercy out of God and then you got to give Him time to recharge. You hear what I'm saying? Hey, mercy is in its fulfillment just like God's love is in its fulfillment. God's grace is in its... It's full. It's unending. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing that the world, the government can do that'll suck God's mercies out. People can't pray more mercy over here, more grace over here, and there not be enough for over here. The person that believes receives. That's it. I like it too. And I'm in it. Praise God. So none of this we deserve. We don't deserve eternal life. But guess what? You receive His mercy from your sins, and then you find the grace for eternal life. And it works like that in every area. You say, well, I did something dumb and I hurt my back. I've done that like multiple times. Multiple times. Tried to take a trailer off of a truck. The trailer was unloaded. I wasn't that dumb. But I lifted and I didn't lift right. And poof, you feel it. And you're like, that was the dumbest move. And then you're like this. Like, can't even stand up straight. And you're like walking to the house like this. That's how I was. Dumb. But guess what? God's mercy. Mm-hmm. Whew, I'm feeling good. Amen. God's mercy. Mm-hmm. His grace. And help in time of need. This is powerful. There's a power available in this revelation. There's a power available in God's mercy and grace. The power of heaven is available in God's mercy and grace. And when you receive it, all of heaven is starting to work on your behalf. Deuteronomy 4:30 and 31, New Living Translation. It says, in the distant future, when you are suffering all these things, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what He tells you. Wow, that's amazing right there. That's called repentance. All right? Return to the Lord your God and listen to what He tells you. That's our job, church. Return to God. Go to God and listen to what He's saying to do and then do it. Verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you, or forget the solemn covenant He made with your ancestors. Wow. Wow. There's a merciful God. He will not abandon you. He will not destroy you. Or He will not forget His covenant with you. What are the things that people deal with? Abandonment. God doesn't abandon anybody. You think about this. Victimhood, I talked about this. Judgment, you talk to people, I can't go to church. It'll get struck by lightning. It'll catch on fire. God's judgment's after me. No, God's mercy's after you.
Yeah.
They need to hear the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is not, judgment's coming. It ain't here yet. We're in the life of grace right now. It's time of his mercy and grace for all mankind. But victim, judgment, feeling condemned, what about me? All these terminologies that people deal with, they can be fixed in the mercy of God. Where you lack, where you fall short, God makes up the difference. Amen. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new life, a new perspective. Amen. All these things, even renewing your mind, revelation. As it comes, there's a mercy and a grace for all revelation. So when you get a revelation like today, I'm believing you're going to get a revelation of God's mercy and his grace, a revelation of faith, a revelation of generosity. There's a mercy and a grace there attached to it. All revelation has a mercy and a grace attached to it, right? Because revelation means it got revealed to us. We didn't know it before. That means we weren't walking in it. And the enemy will want to come in and say, well, you didn't know this, you didn't do this. So you start condemning yourself for not doing it. God's mercy and grace is there to say, that's all right, you can do it now.
That's right.
Come on in, from this day forward, you can walk in this revelation.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, good. To some of you it does, praise God. Romans 2:4 says this, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. There's a goodness, it's called his mercy, that leads to repentance. I'm just sharing some scriptures with you. Psalms 25, let me turn there briefly. I just want to read this to you. Psalms 25, it's a psalm of David. It says, O Lord, give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one will trust in you will ever be disgraced. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
No one that trusts in God will be disgraced. Wow. It's phenomenal. I felt disgraced at times. Anybody here ever felt disgraced? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But guess what? The ones who trust in God, you don't have to stay there. You're not disgraced. That's his mercy. But disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. You're not trying to deceive others, are you? All right, good. Because if you do, that's when disgrace comes upon you. Verse 4, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. This is all his mercy. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Verse 7. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Praise God. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love. For you are merciful, O Lord. God is a merciful God. If you get anything out of today, realize God is merciful. He is keeping you from receiving what is owed to you by your sin. He paid for it. The redemptive work of Christ. I could read on, but I'm going to keep going. Psalms 51, 1 and 2. This is also a psalm of David. It says, regarding the time of Nathan, this is talking about David himself, the prophet came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Oh man, that's pretty bad, isn't it? If you know the story, it's bad. It's bad. Due to time, I won't get into it, but yeah, I will. I got to share. See, he's there, and Bathsheba is sunbathing, and he gets eyes for her, lays with her, she gets pregnant by him. And then Bathsheba's husband was at war. David sends him back to war, to the front lines, to be killed. So what took place there doesn't look like he did it. Terrible. Terrible. Fornication, there's more to the story. Fornication, all kinds of, it's horrible. Can you imagine sending a guy to his death? King David did that. A man after God's own heart sent a man to death. Oh, any of you done that? You haven't sent somebody else to their death, I hope. No. But guess what? Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. That's the root of mercy, is God's compassion, his unfailing love. Love never fails, so mercy never fails. Hear me. Mercy never fails because God's love will never fail. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. When you receive his mercy, you find his grace. And guess what? David continued on to be king and to lead Israel, even though he did that. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too big for God. Mercy is a cleansing agent that removes the toughest stains. Mercy is a cleansing agent that removes stain. When I think to myself, I'll share my little story is, has anyone bought a shirt or clothing, a dress for you ladies? It was like, you spent a lot on it. It was like your favorite one. You go somewhere and then you get this stain on it. And you're like, this is the first time I ever wore this shirt. And all of a sudden I got a stain on it. And I'm ashamed of it. I don't want to wear it. I can't wear it out because it's got a stain on it. Even though it's my best, it's like my prize one. Guess what? What do? You go home, you wash it, you get the stain out, and there you got your shirt again. That's mercy. You messed up, you spilled on your greatest part of clothing that you, your best dinner you go to, you want to wear this shirt. The best church shirt, you want to wear this shirt. When you go out, you want to wear it, but you get a stain on it. You messed up, but God's mercy removes the stain. So it's never seen again. So the shirt is made just as it was originally. That's how mercy operates. Mercy takes what's yours, his chosen vessel, his creation that messed up. God's mercy comes in, wipes it clean. All of a sudden, you can live the life that God commanded you to live and created you to live in. That's God's mercy. It doesn't matter what you spilled, what you kicked over, what you broke. How many times you broke somebody else's heart, or how many times your heart has been broken. Doesn't matter. God's mercy is available. God's mercy is available. See, he has to judge sin. So he has to, you have to receive mercy to get judgment away from you. And that's God's mercy. God's mercy gets his judgment away from you. And it's God's love that causes that to happen. And it's your faith that allows it to happen in your life. So sin is removed because mercy has been made available. It is the stain remover. Okay. 1 Timothy 1:13. Even though I used to blaspheme, this is Paul, the name of Christ in my insolence, is the New Living Translation. I did not look up what that word meant. In my ignorance, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and in unbelief. Paul didn't receive what he deserved, but instead he received mercy. Yeah. He was against the church, persecuting the church, blaspheming Christ, against God. Yes, but God's mercy. And then God's grace hit Paul like a wave. And total transformation. So you see God's mercy in Paul's life to deliver him from that lifestyle, to heal him from those thoughts and that condemnation. And then God's grace came in revelation to write almost 2/3 of the New Testament. What can God do with you? You say, well, I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. You haven't done anything compared to what these men have done. You haven't killed people. You haven't gone and burned churches down or helped stone Christians. But yet God still used them. That's God's mercy and grace. And it's available today just how it was then. Have you ever done something in ignorance? We all have. There's a mercy and grace available. Have you ever done something knowing it's wrong? There's a mercy and grace available. When you hold on to sin, it causes guilt and shame, and you don't enter in. If you get anything, please get this. Don't allow sin to keep you from entering into His mercy seat. Don't allow your shortcomings. That's the place you actually need to go to get your healing. But the enemy says you're not worthy enough to go there. But God created it through His Son to make it available to all. Please get that. Please get that. People don't come to church because they don't think they're good enough for church. Church is the exact place to come. Because that's where you're going to find your healing. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to get loved on. And you're going to receive what God has for you. I'm going to end with this scripture, Luke 15. This story is so significant. I can't talk about this story enough. Luke 15 is the prodigal son. You're going to see something in this. I won't read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a little bit and I'm going to end. Verse 11. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Right there, this was a godly man that had an inheritance. God wants you to have an inheritance. This is just a side note. God wants you to have an inheritance for your children and grandchildren. Verse 13, a few days later, this young son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land and wasted all his money in wild living. And that sounds familiar with some. Sounds like the culture we're living in. Preparing for your parents' inheritance or your grandparents, trying to manipulate situations to get your inheritance or get money. Sounds exactly what's going on. Verse 14, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. When we're talking about twofold blessing, that's a twofold curse right there. All his money ran out, and then a famine came on top of that. It is not good to be out of the will of God. I'll just say that. Verse 15, he persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. He was eating out of the trough with the pigs. Not really appealing. Yeah. Phew. Verse 17, when he finally came to his senses, it probably wouldn't take too long to come to your senses if you're on your hands and knees eating the slop out of a pig pen. But, you know, he finally got the revelation. Guess what? With revelation, there's mercy and grace available. That is the shift that started happening in this young man's life. He came to his senses. The truth of the matter. Everybody say truth. Guess what sets you free? The truth. All right, so this is where he decided his own way. He made his own sinful decisions. Greed, wanting to do it his own way. We've all been there. But then there comes a time you come to your senses. He said to himself, hopefully, he said to himself, at home even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. So his senses came that where I was with my dad, the very low people that were hired by my dad were eating at tables and having all their needs met. All right. Verse 18. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. There it is. Repentance started taking place. God's mercy started being activated because this man came to his senses and started turning back to what was true. Get a hold of this, church. Get a hold of it. Sometimes it takes years. Have mercy on people that are running in the wrong direction for years. God has mercy on them too. Don't go to them and say, why do you keep doing this? And just shoving Bible down their throat. They got to get it on their own. They got to get the revelation and get their senses directed and repented. Amen. Share the truth with them. Love on them. Love causes mercy to flow. Yes. Without love, you're not going to have mercy for nobody. If God didn't have love, he wouldn't have had mercy. We would be in the old covenant still trying to make it work. Yeah. Thank God for Jesus. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he got the revelation. He'd start at the bottom because the bottom at home was better than the top where he went. Grass ain't always greener on the other side, folks. You say, why do I have to go through this as a Christian? I'm telling you, there's things you go through as a Christian that the world doesn't seem that they're going through. But I'm telling you, there's a grace and a mercy available for you, and you will receive a blessing and provision for your persecution. Verse 20. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. Dad didn't judge him, did he? Your dad, your father's not judging you either. Had compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Notice something here. This young man did it in his heart first, and then did it in the open. He repented in his heart to God, and then he repented to his father, whom he left. That's important. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf which has been fattened. We must celebrate with a feast, for a son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party begins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is it. This is it. Get this. Here it is. Mercy and grace right here. Mercy gave the prodigal son a second chance. Grace gave him a feast. Mercy gave him a second chance. God's love gave him a second chance. He came to his senses, came back to the Father, received mercy. But grace gave him a feast when he got there. Hallelujah. If you don't get this, I don't know what else to do for you. That sounded harsh, didn't it? That flew like a lead balloon. I'll pray for you. Amen. There is mercy and grace. He did everything wrong, selfish in every way, but came to his senses, came back to God, came back to his senses, and received God's mercy and received the feast. He got a ring on his finger. He got the seal, the stamp of being a son. He got sandals on his feet. He got everything that was coming to him that he gave up. He still received it, even after he made the wrong decision. If you ever feel condemned, that's a lie of the enemy. Get away from that. Come back to Jesus. Come back to God and receive your portion. Your portion is there for you. God doesn't give up on you. God doesn't give up on you. His mercy is available. You can run from God, but God's not running from you. You say, well, I gave up on God. I didn't receive what I thought I would receive from the church or from God. That doesn't change God's heart for you. His mercy is still available for people to come back and receive. I'm telling you, church, when you grab a hold of this, mercy removes the sin and grace fills it with blessing. Yes. Whatever area in your life, bow your head and close your eyes. Whatever area in your life you may feel like you've done wrong. You may have come against God and did exactly the opposite of what God's word says. You may have been offended at a coworker or a family member. You may have said something to somebody that you shouldn't have said. You may even cut somebody off coming to church this morning. But I'm telling you, there's a mercy and a grace found in the throne room of God. There is a grace available as you enter in right now. If you could play some instrumental, that would be great. Listening online, there is a mercy and a grace in God that is available for you right now. It's available for you right now. And right where you are, just enter into that place. Hold firm to your faith. Hebrews 4:15 says, hold firm. Enter in by faith. Enter in right now. All around the world, entering in to the throne of grace, to the mercy seat that's been made available for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's happening. It's happening. People are entering in right now, entering into the mercy of God. You'll receive mercy as soon as you enter in. And then you'll find grace. Are you in a time of need? Are you in a hard place? Are you desperate? Are you hurting? Do you have pain in your body? Are you dealing with thoughts that are not yours? Are you dealing with frustration or anger, resentment, jealousy? Whatever it is, it's not what you have done, it's what He did that allows you to enter in. Just carry all your junk with you right into the place of mercy and dump it on the altar. Dump it on the seat. He'll take it all for you. He'll take it all. He'll take it all. Receive it. You receive mercy by faith. You enter in by faith. You receive mercy by faith. And you find grace by faith. Believing on Jesus. He paid it all. He paid it all. You may be that prodigal son. You may be that one that had bad motives that ran the opposite way. The rebellious one. The black sheep of the family. Whatever terminology you want to put on it. Makes no difference to God. What makes a difference is when you come and enter into the throne of grace. And receive His mercy. Judgment removed. Condemnation removed. Death removed. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, enter in. Enter in. Receive it now. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Receive His mercy that was paid for over 2,000 years ago. Receive His blood that was shed for your sin. The purchase, He purchased your sin. So you will not receive the fruit of it. You will not receive the penalty of it. It's paid for. It's paid for. Just ask Him into your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, You went to the cross and died just for me. I release my sin. I release my sin nature. I release my heart to You. Give me a heart of flesh. Thank You, Lord, for being my Lord and my Savior. I trust You now. I trust You now. I believe those listening online, you're receiving His mercy and you're seeing the grace of God right now in Jesus' name. The grace of God. He's given you vision. He's given you insight. He's given you discernment. He's making your path straight. He's guiding you and directing you from this day forward. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Father, I thank You that You're leading and guiding Your people. In Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us online. We love you very much. And we want to hear from you what God is doing in your life. Praise God. Bless you. For those that are here, if you're working through this and you want prayer, you can come forward. God's grace, His mercy are available. Remember, mercy comes first. Mercy removes the sin. It's the precursor to the grace of God. It's the forerunner to the grace of God. God's love is merciful. God's heart is merciful. God sees you through the eyes of mercy. He sees you through the eyes of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to be willing to receive it. You have to desire it in your heart to receive His mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. It's a gift. Just receive it. Open your heart and receive it. Mercy. Mercy. Through receiving mercy, you will find His grace. What you have given to Him in this moment, God is going to bring back His kingdom and heal and give you everything and more that you have need of to overcome whatever it is that you are dealing with. Whatever it is. If you have guilt and shame, His mercy will remove it, and He'll give you a power and a boldness and a confidence and authority to stand in that place where you had guilt before. It'll be your testimony. Mercy and grace is the equation to equal your testimony. Mercy plus grace equal victory. Mercy plus grace equal freedom. Mercy plus grace equal overcomer. Mercy and grace equal victory. Whatever it is, you have the victory. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, feel free to come up. If you're receiving right where you are, feel free to stay right where you are and keep receiving. Keep receiving, because I'm telling you, God's grace doesn't end when the music stops or you leave church. God's grace doesn't end. God's mercy doesn't end on Sunday morning. And what you'll find out is when you receive God's mercy and His grace, grace will help keep you in the will of God. It is a power that will keep you in God's will and God's plan for your life. Not that mercy's done away with, but you won't need as much mercy because you'll be continually walking in His grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More. More.